Truth.
Another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the spicy Cajun catfish of got whiskers because, like a lawyer, it is a bottom feeding scum sucker or something like that. There's a joke in there somewhere. Figure it out.
It goes. Yeah, there's here's a picture of a lawyer and a catfish. One of them is a bottom feeding scum sucker. The other's a catfish, or the other's a fish.
So anyway, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed yuan and renminbi to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators will be standing by. We've got Cato with us. Cato, hey, I heard somebody do a super chat to the Duran show, and they had on a guy who I think has a fair amount of experience in China, but he lives in Thailand, named Brian Berletic. And they were saying in China, you have to pay for things with like the Weiblo app. People get all these weird ideas. Where do they get these weird ideas from?
Well, it's just a sign of the, you could say, the digital age. You know, pay everything by your phone. I don't know too much about payment systems over there.
Yeah, I mean, you can pay for things with alternatives, but this guy was saying you have to. And Brian Berletic was shooting down a lot of this stuff, saying there's no such thing as the social credit. That this is, that why do you even though you know that the media is lying to you about everything else that's important, why do you just want to hook, bait, and sinker, swallow everything they tell you about China?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. That's the one thing I don't understand about all these, you know, normie conservative types, you know, especially these, you know, boomer MAGA types. You know, they'll call, you know, the lying media, which is the lying media, CNN. Whenever CNN is bad-mouthing Trump, they'll say, oh, yeah, that's fake news. But then when CNN is bad-mouthing China, they'll believe every syllable of it and say, see, look at there, China's a threat. Yeah, literally the same lying media that's telling you that Trump is bad is also telling you that China's a threat. And you want to believe one but not the other? Uh-uh, that's not how it works.
And otherwise smart, serious people, but somehow saying that China is our mortal enemy. How is that? Frankly, you know, here's the thing. So I am an unabashed China shill, but I went to China 35 years ago, more than 35 years ago, and it was a, can I say shithole? It was not a nice place. I didn't like it, but they made it into something awesome. I'm sure there are problems, but in such a short period of time to make it into something and into a country, finally you've got a country that can stand up to the United States, along with Russia, and when China and Russia are standing up to the United States together, it's game over. And it really is game over, and I'm very, very thankful for it. So why should we be bitching about it? That's what I don't get.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Russia and China is doing an indirect service to the, you know, true American people, you know, American patriots and, you know, red-blooded Americans, whatever you want to call it, you know, who are being persecuted under this federal regime that we live under. And, you know, Russia and China's putting that federal regime, that American empire in check on a global level.
And indirect in that they're, you know, they've got their own reasons for doing this, but it's huge. It's major. It is, like, we honestly... We as like regular American people, it's beyond the point where we can really probably beyond the point where we can rectify the situation ourselves. But because the federal government, the American government, and not just the government, but the, you know, the Zio ruling class has been so weakened and destabilized by their failures overseas, because Russia and China and Iran and Hamas are standing up to them.
And the Houthis.
Thank you, Houthis. So, I mean, these people are giving us a second chance, because it was game over for us.
They're giving us a little bit of room to breathe, put it that way. So that way we're not completely suffocating. I mean, they're still suffocating us with, you know, everything, you know, domestically, including what's happening on the southern border, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, at least, you know, because, you know, all these different nations forming this multipolar bloc are putting the American empire in check, you know, globally. You know, that's giving, you know, the people domestically here, locally, you know, some breathing room, just a little bit of breathing room, so that it doesn't just completely, you know, clamp down on us like it did on January 6th and is still trying to.
Yeah, exactly. So you just think of the past few years. Okay, so you had 2020, where 2020, 2021, 2022, you had all that COVID nonsense where they were locking us in our, like, you know, locking us down, shutting schools, shutting businesses, making us wear masks, forcing many, many people to take untested and unsafe, or what should we say, occasionally safe or sometimes safe, occasionally safe vaccinations and whatnot. Doing all that, doing the riots, all the anti-white stuff, doing the riots, and what am I missing? Faking an election.
Faking the election, violently crushing those who wanted to peacefully protest and point out the obvious stolen election.
Yeah.
And throwing them in prison for, you know, or in jail, and, you know, where some of them are still waiting trial. They still haven't, they've been sitting in jail this whole time.
And then think of the mood, okay? So you had, like, Andrew Anglin is a, like, I bring him up a lot because I respect him. I think he's a smart commentator. But just think of, like, how pessimistic he was. And you know, all of us, right? Or to an extent, right? Where if they fake that election, they can fake any, you know, they can fake any election. They did all this stuff to us. And, you know, did anybody stand up to them? Nobody stood up to them. But they went too far, and they provoked Russia into a war, and now they've started all this stuff in the Middle East. And of course, the reason that, and when you get down to it, the reason that Russia can prevail is because China's got its back, because it can trade with China. China is by far the biggest industrial capacity on Earth, by far. Its industrial capacity is greater than all the G7 countries put together, all the NATO countries put together. It's got more industrial capacity. And so these other countries that are standing up to the United States and embarrassing it and humiliating it, it's because of China. And because we have been embarrassed and humiliated overseas, then it's created all these opportunities for us. It is fractured. For instance, it's fractured the anti-white coalition. So now you've got all these, the woke left, and they're freaking out about Israel. And so everything's in disarray. And now I want to kick it over to you. I was on with Mark Dankoff today, and he's asking me all this stuff about the southern border. And frankly, I've been too busy with other things. What the heck's going on with the southern border, with Texas and these other states confronting the border guards? What's going on?
Yeah, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, I think Mark Dankoff, I think he lives down in Texas.
He's from, right? San Antonio.
Oh, yeah, so that's, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, it's not right on the border, but it's, you know, pretty close. Still a few hour drive just from the Rio Grande. So, yeah, that's the thing. You know, we mostly focused, you know, on international politics, you know, predominantly related to China, but it's also good to focus on, you know, what's happening domestically. You know, what's happening here on the home front. And I mean, yeah, basically what we have here is a scenario where you have the state of Texas, you know, that's battling against the federal government, which is, you know, not only allowing but aiding and abetting these illegals, these dark third worlders into the United States, you know, crossing the Rio Grande. You know, basically the state of Texas, I mean, they're alone when it comes to fighting, you know, fending off these illegals, these third worlders that are crossing. And what they've done is they've put up this razor wire fence along the Rio Grande. They've done that. They've also, you know, put some buoys, some these floating buoys, which effectively act as a barrier. You know, it's basically a water barrier is what it is. And essentially the federal government has stepped in and said, oh, no, it's against the law to secure the border. It's you know, you can't do this on your own. You know, you need to have Department of Homeland Security and Border Patrol step in. And but the problem is the Border Patrol, I mean, the Department of Homeland Security and the Border Patrol, they're the ones that are aiding and abetting these illegals, these third worlders coming in, by cutting the wires, you know, cutting the razor wire, taking these wire cutters, cutting the razor wire that, this, you know, Texas with, you know, their state tax money that they, you know, spent so much time and so much money to put up to secure the border. And then you have Border Patrol agents going and cutting it, you know, making openings to allow illegals to come in. I mean, it is, you know, if that's not aiding and abetting, I don't know what is. And, you know, there was a court battle. Of course, every time the Border Patrol puts up more razor wire, you know, not Border Patrol. Every time the Texas National Guard, you know, because the National Guard is still controlled by the states. You know, Texas has its own, Florida has its own National Guard. Florida actually has a state guard too, which is, you know, from what I've read, they're actually in Texas right now also, you know, basically assisting the Texas Guard in securing the southern border, the Mexican border. And essentially, the National Guard is still controlled by the states, but, I mean, Biden has threatened to federalize it, or rather, there's been, you know, all these, the mainstream media has been, like, kind of, like, goading Biden to federalize it, because we know who they're controlled by. But right now, you know, they're still under, you know, the control of the state of Texas, the Texas, they what do they have, like, a military, you know, kind of department within their state government. And then there's also, you know, Department of Public Safety, which is kind of their state law enforcement agency down there. And they're working together, you know, to build this, you know, razor wire along the bank of the Rio Grande so the illegals can't cross in. And, you know, the federal government, you know, they took it to, obviously, you know, to the highest Supreme Court, the you know, highest law of the land, quote unquote, which, you know, is it should not be, but that's what it is. And the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the federal government of the Biden administration against the state of Texas, saying that, oh, yeah, the Border Patrol, they're perfectly allowed to cut the razor wire and let all these illegals in. I mean, again, if that's not aiding and abetting, I don't know what is. And, of course, you know, Texas has stepped up saying, okay, you keep cutting the wire. We're just going to put more wire up and more wire and more wire. So it's back and forth. One thing I did want to say, though, about the Border Patrol, if you remember a few years ago when Biden first took office, remember, still down in the Rio Grande, there were still, you know, Border Patrol agents on horseback, effectively these, you know, these Border Patrol cowboys, you know, that were essentially using their horses to block the illegals from coming in. And, you know, they had horse reins that they were using to control the horse. And, of course, the, you know, liberal left, you know, mainstream media, you know, totally lied about it and said, oh, no, they were using whips to whip these poor, you know, innocent people. And, you know, they were just horse reins. Well, back then, you know, because that was when Trump was, you know, just left and Biden, you know, was put in. Well, back then, you know, the Border Patrol, you still had, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, a nationalist or any of that sort, but, you know, relatively patriotic, you know, Border Patrol members, you know, patriots who still wanted to, you know, felt they had a duty to secure the border and protect, you know, America from these illegal aliens coming in. We don't know where they're from. And they just wanted to protect them. And, you know, this made big news. Well, that all those individuals that were, you know, still somewhat felt they had a duty to protect the border in the Border Patrol, all those have been purged by the Department of Homeland Security, by the Jewish Hispanic or the Hispanic Jew, rather, Alejandro Mayorkas. He's already purged all the patriotic members of Border Patrol, and he's replaced them with these basically ideological leftists, you know, who many of them who are, you know, Mexican or whatever, Latino, Hispanic, you know, Latin American descent, that they want to, you know, basically essentially see these illegal aliens, these third worlders, as, you know, part of their own people and not, you know, they clearly identify, I'm talking about the Border Patrol agents, they identify more as Hispanic Latino than they do, you know, American. So they feel it as their duty to help out their own come to America. And I mean, that's at least that's what I'm seeing down there. So, and then of course, but they're not all Latinos. You also got like, you know, Haitians and sub-Saharan Africans, you know, people who literally don't even have enough money to buy a bowl to hold their, you know, hold their food in. And yet somehow they can end up, you know, just happen to end up right on the southern border, right on the Rio Grande. I mean, there's no way some, you know, NGO group, you know, mostly a Jewish immigrant group paid them, you know, pay them a lot of money to import them there. So, I mean, this is an importation of a hostile, you know, dark, you know, third world savage population into the United States to demographically replace the majority of the United States. Yeah. And they can call it a conspiracy theory all they want, but the numbers, you know, are self-evident.
It's becoming more and more evident. So even you mentioned these floating barriers, and you've talked about the razor wire. And the floating barriers, I don't think they were particularly effective. I think a lot of this is symbolic. Governor Abbott had been in a lot of, under a lot of pressure to do something, to use the National Guard. And I can remember multiple times when Tucker Carlson still had his show, he had on, at least twice, he had on Abbott, and he raked Abbott over the coals, saying, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you used the Texas National Guard? You could put an end to this right away. And Abbott was kind of wishy-washy and saying, well, I can't because of this or that, or I am doing it. I'm doing everything. And even the razor wire, if it's that easy for the border agents to cut it, I'm sure the coyotes and the migrants themselves would be able to cut it. But the fact is, they are being told you can't have these barriers because the barriers aren't safe for the people who want to cross into the country illegally. Well, that's kind of the whole point. It's kind of the whole point.
I mean, what's the whole point of having a fence or a wall if it's not if you can just hop right over it and it's not? I mean, well, okay, then why did they have barbed wire around prison? You know, prison conflict.
Why do they have walls with broken glass on top around rich people's houses? Right. I mean, you get that. You know, you have barbed wire around cow fat pastures. All right. Is the Supreme Court going to say you can't do that? And of course, I think the Supreme Court ruling on the barbed wire was what I'm not sure of it. Like with the federal court, I don't know if it was a Supreme Court, but the federal court ruling against the barriers, I think, was because it's unsafe for people trying to cross it who don't know how to swim and could drown. Right. With the barbed wire, I'm not sure. Was it because it's unsafe? I think the issue was that the federal the border is the federal government's jurisdiction, and so they have precedent over the over Texas. And I think this sets up something very, very interesting because we have in our history nullification where. South Carolina in particular would nullify federal laws that it viewed as unconstitutional. And of course, the federal government has just been trampling the Constitution. And so this sets up a showdown. And like when I say showdown, I don't expect it to be like any kind of shooting between the federal and state. I just don't think that the Texas National Guard members would want to shoot at federal troops and vice versa. I could be wrong. I think the feds would be more likely to start it if anything starts, but I don't really expect that. But it's just making it really, really obvious that the Biden administration. Come on, come on.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Maybe the feds, I think the feds would be more likely to start it if anything starts, but I don't really expect that. But it's just making it really, really obvious that the Biden administration, and not just the administration, but, you know, there's a lot of allies like the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society and others that have absolutely no intention of protecting the border, that they want to throw it open. You know, we've been hearing forever that that white replacement is just some sort of crazy conspiracy theory. And yet they're doing the most obvious things to achieve it. It's just getting so obvious. And it's coming at a time when like the whole Ukraine narrative is completely falling apart, when Jews, Israel in particular, but Jews even are coming under unprecedented criticism over their support for the genocide of Palestinians. And the unprecedented criticism is not coming from conservatives. I mean,
it's definitely not coming from evangelicals, you know, down in Texas.
It's not coming from the gateway pundit people, or from the probably not from the Breitbart people. I don't pay attention to that.
From the Blaze. Yeah.
It's coming from the pets of the Jewish establishment themselves. They created these pets. They created these woke people who feel that everything they're doing is moral, that they are morally beyond reproach. And now all of a sudden, the Israelis are doing the most immoral thing that you can see, that anybody's ever seen. You've never seen such a thing. I don't think places like Stalingrad were leveled to this extent. Hiroshima and Nagasaki were not leveled to the extent of Gaza. More people died ultimately, but who knows? The killing's not over in Gaza. It's just unthinkable. But yet, if you protest against it, then now you're called anti-Semitic, and everything's just kind of falling apart.
Yeah, and the only recourse or that the Jews, you know, have is to basically hide behind the Holocaust or to bring up the Holocaust whenever they're criticized for the actions, they automatically bring up the Holocaust. I mean, that's the only line of a defendant when a defendant is being held on trial, his only recourse is to say, well, I'm the most persecuted. I've been kicked out 109 times for no reason at all, other than just the fact that people have sheer Jew hatred in their blood for no reason, absolutely no reason. You know, it's because, you know, if anything, it's because they're jealous of how superior we are. And oy vey, the Holocaust. That's literally the only recourse.
Oy vey, the Holocaust. So what people can see is the Jews in Israel are committing genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza, and the International Court of Justice, which is ruling on this, it's had some preliminary rulings telling Israel not to commit genocide. Okay, so what's going on there? Is it a Holocaust? Let's call it a Goyocaust. The Jews are Goyocausting the Palestinians. Look at Ukraine, where you had this Jewish president backed by the Jewish State Department, and they're Goyocausting their own people. Look, there's been 500,000 Ukrainians have died. For what? And do you think Zelensky cares? He doesn't seem to care. His whole purpose in life seems to be to keep his own people dying. It's to kill more and more of his own people.
Yeah,
it's a Goyocaust. It's a Goyocaust. And then what's going on in the United States? It's a slow motion Goyocaust. Okay, so we've got these Jews. I'm sorry, I don't even think of myself as being particularly mean or I don't even dislike Jews on a personal level. But this Jewish power structure is they're responsible for this stuff. And it is a Goyocaust. And, you know, so we've got these Jews who are ruling our country on behalf of us. What? They're friendly Jews who are ruling our country to give us more time to watch porn and eat junk food and take fentanyl.
Yeah, it's through all kinds of, vices and degenerate behaviors that the Jews are using to, you know, basically wipe out the majority white population in the United States, coupled by the importation, not immigration, importation mm-hmm. of millions, literally millions of dark brown third world savages into the United States. And you know, I'm sorry I'm using that kind of harsh language, but that's the truth. I mean, they are, you know, I mean, the countries that they came from don't want them. Obviously, that's why, you know, you look at these dark brown, you know, third worlders coming into the United States and Europe. I mean, these are like the criminal elements of the countries they came out of, their respective peoples. I mean, they don't want them. You know, I call them savages. The peoples, you know, the people that are, you know, still in those countries that these savages came out of, they call them savages too. So, well, it's like, yeah.
A wise man once said, they're not sending their best. They're sending rapists. They're sending murderers. And presumably some of them are good people. A wise man once said that. And the thing is,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
A wise man once said, they're not sending their best. They're sending rapists, they're sending murderers, and presumably some of them are good people. A wise man once said that. And the thing is, that it's a mix of people. I'm sure a lot of them are perfectly nice, but that's not why they're being brought here. The doors are being flung open so that anybody can come. They're unvetted. But the ones that are wanted, maybe I'm going too far here, but the ones that are wanted are the ones that are the savages. The nice people, I mean, if some nice people come in too, I guess that's all right, but they're really trying to get in.
The ones that they're importing are the criminals and the deadbeats and the, you know, dare I use the German word, Untermensch, of their respective countries. Whereas the ones in their respective countries are the ones that are, you know, living in their respective countries, you know, with decent, respectable jobs, you know, of whatever sort. No, those are, you know, like, you know, if I were to visit one of their, you know, countries, whether it be in Latin America or the Middle East or wherever, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll bump into plenty of nice peoples, you know, over there. But it's the ones that are coming here that are the bad ones.
You're not getting Europeans coming, because Europeans, I would say, because Europeans have nicer, Europeans have countries that are being ruined. But historically, they've been nice countries. So you're not getting them coming. You're not getting any Japanese. There's no Japanese who are coming here because they have a country. And, you know, why would they leave? I don't even think you're getting, like, really people from Thailand.
You're not getting East Asians. No,
you're really not getting East Asians. I mean, some Koreans come over here, honestly, I think to avoid the draft because, you know, they've got national conscription. Honestly, I think that's the only reason you get Koreans coming over. I don't know.
You're not getting any Chinese. Now, I will say this. The only, you know, Chinese that do come to America are the ones that have, you know, maybe done some, you know, criminal activity over there. Now they're wanted by the government.
If you're talking about the ones coming over the border, but lots of Chinese are coming here legally, which according to the Trump people, legally, everybody should come here legally. I tell you why what bothers me about the Chinese people who come here legally, and this doesn't go for all of them, it goes for some of them. They wear COVID masks, and I think anybody, I don't care where they're from. I don't care if they're born here. If people are going to walk around in COVID masks, they should be deported en masse, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't know. Well, the Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, they've been wearing masks way before COVID.
But
they get a pass.
They would wear masks for pollution. Like, you know, if you're in Beijing, a lot of the Chinese cities have a lot of soot. They would wear it for hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
Seasonally, and they would wear it if they had a cold and didn't want to spread it to other people because they, you know, riding subways, it's densely packed. But now you just got people walking around for no good reason.
There's plenty of white people, though, that do that.
There are. I know. And they should be deported. And I don't care if they were deported. I'm talking about them, too.
To where, though?
Get rid of them. I don't want to live with those people. I'm sick. Yeah. I'm sick of them.
One thing I do want to mention, though, about the China, now there have been, you know, very, very small, I mean, like less than 0.1%, you know, on the border. They have found, you know, a few Chinese nationals, not a whole, you know, the mainstream media, obviously, they want to exaggerate. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of Chinese on the border, you know, for two purposes. Number one is, you know, the conservatives or hell, you know, both sides, you know, both the liberals and the conservatives, they both want to say, well, it's because they're fleeing authoritarianism. They're trying to come here for a better life, for democracy, because they don't want to be a part of the, you know, a communist party. They don't want to be under communism. And then number two, they're going to say, well, but what if they're soldiers, you know? I mean, what if these are soldiers that are, you know, they're setting up, China's going to invade America through the southern border, and this is, you know, these are soldiers that are coming here to this guy. I'm just like, okay, which one is it? Are they here for a better life or are they soldiers? I mean, come on. It's like double think, you know, like Orwell said, double think. I mean, it's literally two opposing thoughts. What is it? You know, I mean, I've got my own theories. I mean, first of all, you know, the very limited footage you do see of these, you know, select few Chinese men, you realize they're pretty well dressed and they got suitcases. And, you know, they don't look like they just, you know, crawled through a jungle and a desert and swam through, you know, a swamp. You know, they look like they just got off the airport kind of thing. So they don't look like the rest of those, you know, dark brown savages. Again, there's not that many of them. But, you know, some of it could be because, you know, they know, you know, they've heard reports of, you know, the border being wide open. So I'm sure some of them were probably sent there just to go see what it is. Just to, you know, kind of scout it out, see what the situation is. You know, just to kind of look at what – I don't think they're here because, oh, you know, they're here for a better life. And no, I don't think they're here because they're planning an invasion. I mean, they're both nonsense. They're probably just, you know, tourists or, you know, even non-tourists who were, you know, sent by, you know, someone to just go and look to see what the situation really is.
First of all, I'm somebody who's gone on record saying I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews. Right now we're ruled by Jews. We have been ruled by Jews. If the Chinese want to invade, go right ahead. It's not going to happen. It's just wishful thinking on my part. But so you've got the illegal immigration problem. We also have a legal immigration problem, which we tend to forget about, but massive legal immigration. Traditionally, over the past 60 years, since the 1965 Immigration Act, about three quarters of the immigration the legal immigration has been through its family reunification, its chain migration. Now, here's the thing. Not all immigrant nationalities are the same when it comes to chain migration, because if you get somebody from the Congo, okay, one person from the Congo or from, you know, a Muslim country, but especially Africa, but, to extent the Muslim countries also, they come from big families. They come, Congo average mother's going to have like six kids. So they've got five brothers and sisters. They maybe have 10 aunts and uncles. They might have 50 cousins. And so you get the chain migration really fast from the higher birth rate countries. The other thing is, if you are coming from the Congo, probably everybody wants to get the hell out of there and they all want to come. Right. Whereas if you're coming, here's the thing. And again, I'll sound like I'm shilling for the Chinese, but this is just a demographic fact. We do have a lot of immigration from China, and they come legally. And like I say, as much as I like Orientals, at this point, we got to clamp down on immigration. But in terms of chain migration, because of the one child policy that was in effect for decades, the Chinese immigrants here, the only people they have to chain migrate are their own parents. And their parents are not going to come, their 60-year-old parents, 70-year-old parents are not going to come and have babies. Okay. So it's just kind of a one-off thing. Yeah, it puts a little extra strain on the welfare system, although the Chinese, like younger Chinese people who are bringing them over, tend to be relatively high taxpayers because they work and make a good living. But it doesn't have the permanent demographic impact that the chain migration from African or Muslim countries has.
From third world countries. Yeah, it's totally different, Chinese immigrants have been a much earlier group, coming to the United States. So, if you want to go based on, what they call assimilation or, adjusting. I mean, the Chinese have been coming since what, the late 1800s, early 1900s? Mid 1800s, ever since they started building the railroads out west. And so that they've, had some time. Whereas what we're seeing now is the dark parts of the world, which is all, within the last, what, not even 40 years. I mean, 65 was when the floodgates was legally allowed to, open. But, when have we seen the bulk of it? It's really been these last 30 years.
Yeah.
Ever since the 21st century. I mean, that's when we've seen the bulk of it, especially these last few years, too.
So let me just, as a boomer, let me say, okay, when I was, except for going to Chinatown in New York, I went to Chinatown in New York a couple of times, like in the late 60s. And there was a tiny little Chinatown in Washington, D.C. There was a restaurant called The Gung Ho. I remember the restaurant name. It was a funny name, The Gung Ho. But I remember going there and seeing Chinese people there. Aside from that, when I was in first grade, there was a speech teacher. It was like a speech therapist who taught me how to say the TH sound. She was Chinese. And then once a guy from Thailand came over to my house because he worked with my dad, came over late at night. I don't know why. It was weird, but he left some picture postcards of Bangkok. But during the entire 1960s, those were the only Oriental people I ever saw. I never saw Oriental people. I saw a couple of Indian women walking down the street wearing saris, which I thought was completely bizarre, but I didn't see them. And then finally, I guess when I was in about junior high school, this Chinese kid moved into the neighborhood. I had never seen Chinese people. I knew what they looked like because I saw pictures in books, but you just didn't see them. You didn't see Indians. You didn't see Arabs. You didn't see Mexicans. Maybe if you were in Texas, there were some, but you just didn't see these people. People were white or they were black, and that was it.
Yeah, just white or black. Nothing really in between.
Yeah, I mean, like, unless you were, there were Chinatowns. San Francisco obviously had a big one. Boston has one. New York has a big one. There were Chinatowns. And I guess, you know, there might be Chinese restaurants here and there, like the Gung Ho. There might have been I guess there was another Chinese restaurant, but you just didn't see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's completely different.
I think, by the way, I think Chicago has the largest Latino population outside of the Southwest, I think. Mexican population.
It's about a third. I think Chicago, which has a population of close to 3 million, and it's about one third white, one third black, one third Mexican or Latino.
I know
Asians too, but
I know in terms of Latinos, I know Chicago, because I actually checked the breakdown of the demographics. Chicago's got a huge Mexican population being outside the Southwest.
It's
crazy. I take it, them and the blacks probably don't get along. That is one thing I have heard about Mexicans. They don't like blacks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of surprising. They've been in Chicago for a while, but I'm sure there's been a massive increase. And, yeah. I'm complaining about it not so much that I think these people are heathen or are horrible or whatever, but that this change is being brought about with very ulterior motives.
By design, not by accident.
It's by design. And it's written about. Dr. Duke would be able to give you several references of articles that have been written over the years. Jacob Javits, who was a representative at the time in the 1950s, but he later became a senator from New York, a Jewish senator, Republican, one of the co-sponsors of the 1965 Immigration Act. But back in the, I think around 1952, he wrote an article. Dr. Duke would be able to say the exact title, but it's something like Throw the Gates Open. And you see these Jews writing in publications for other Jews, and they've been saying, this going back decades, that through immigration, they can bring about a situation where an ethnic or racially based nationalism could no longer win elections. And this was a goal, and this has been a goal. And, today you hear people like Brett Stevens, who's a, 40-something-year-old Jew who writes for the New York Times. And he says very frankly that Jews are best suited by diverse, multi-ethnic, multinational societies.
Yeah, it's because them being less than 2% of the population, you know— It's like, yeah, it's just they're intimidated by, a strong supermajority, of one major dominant ethnic group, or in the case of the United States, one dominant race, white people. And that's why the Jews have to bring about all this. They have to, mix everyone up and have all this multiculturalism and different, peoples, clashing with different people. So then that way the Jews can dominate all of them. Through what they already control, which is finance, media, politics, military, industrial complex, all that. Education system, everything. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, they, I hate to say it, but they've succeeded, at least, in terms of, breaking the ethnic racial will, you could say, of white people.
Because there's only a few minutes left, I want to ask you, what do you think is going to come of what's happening with this standoff between Texas and the federal government?
Honestly, I have no idea. I just hope that more the more clashes, between the two sides that happen, the more things will, let's just say, gradually, how should I say? I'm trying to say this in a way that doesn't, get me in trouble. The more the federal government and the state of Texas fight, and if it does get a little bit violent, let's say, between the two sides, the more I think people will the more this thing will fall apart is what I'm trying to say. The more the system will fall apart. But the thing is, now you also got, you know, Florida Guard going over to, you know, going over to Texas to go and assist, you know, the Texas Guard on the border. And then, of course, you got all the Republican governors siding with Texas. So we are seeing, I mean, almost, you know, basically, you know, a sectionalism that's forming.
I think Mark Dankoff mentioned something like a dozen states are sending National Guard members to Texas. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like with the Civil War, this was something that was brewing for decades in a way that, like, I just don't see like a violent Civil War type thing happening in the United States.
There's night on his own heaven's left, dead hardly advice, older eyes can't enough. Fresh comes in the gesichter, the floor is unser Sieg, ja, unser Sieg.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This was brewing for decades in a way that, like, I just don't see a violent Civil War type thing happening in the United States. But having said that, people didn't see it coming in Yugoslavia. People didn't see it coming in the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union didn't dissolve into massive war, although now it is. I mean, these two former Soviet republics, Russia and Ukraine, are having a giant war. But there was low level violence when the Soviet Union was breaking up, and even without violent confrontations between military formations, you are now you've got the state of Texas with other states supporting it, saying no, we reject the federal government patrolling our border. We reject this. We reject the Supreme Court decision. This is a big deal.
Oh yeah, and all I could say is, you know, that old line that a lot of patriots, constitutional types, they like to say, come and take it. You have like a cannon and then come and take it. That comes from Texas. That saying, when the Mexican army during the Texas War of Independence in 1836, when the Mexican army tried to go take a cannon from the Texan freedom fighters, and the Texans said, no, come and take it. And the Mexican army failed to take that cannon that day. This is what I say, to Texas and to all the other states that are supporting Texas. They need to tell the federal government, you want to stop us from securing the border? Well, guess what? Come and take it.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but that's, that's what I said. They need to, reignite that, you could say almost that spirit of 1836 down there, come and take it.
I think that type of, and I don't think the Brandon R. Trojan administration is going to come and take it. And I think it's setting up probably a landslide victory for Donald Trump, an unfakeable, unfraudable margin of victory, which then doesn't mean that we've won and they've lost. It just, I think it would mean we're moving to a new stage where they will continue, just like they did in Trump's first term, to undermine him, try to undermine him and stymie everything through alternative means. And the first term, they were pretty effective in doing it. The second term, who knows? We'll see.
Just hope they don't rig the Republican primary in favor of that Indian.
Camarada,
yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Just hope they don't rig the primary, which I don't know if that will or not. I don't know if that will happen or not.
Did you know that Nick Fuentes has referred to her as a MILF? I don't even know what that means. But anyway, that's about all the time we have for today.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good to be back on here. Next week is close to Chinese Lunar New Year, so we will be doing a somewhat special show on that, hopefully.
Oh, maybe. And it's also going to be close to Groundhog's Day, so maybe we can get...
True. Punxsutawney County. I look forward to talking to him again.
I'm sure he would like to talk to you. Okay, well, thank you for joining me, Cato.
Yeah, thank you. Good talking to you.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low. Hearts that know no other lands, drifting to and fro. Dreamy, dreamy Chinatown. Always night so bright. Night seems light and life seems bright in dreamy Chinatown.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.